This is not a sponsored episode. A few months ago on Cold Fusion, we covered the anti-smartphone revolution. We took a look at the demand for simpler phones without all the smartphone technology. The Lite Phone Company seems to be at the heart of all of this. They seek to alter our relationship with technology by focusing on what's essential and eliminating unnecessary distractions. They promote a less screen-centered lifestyle. Kaiwei Tang is the co-founder of the Lite Phone Company, and in this episode, we chat with Kai and take a look at his career trajectory, his company's role in disrupting our conventional understanding of smartphone technology, and exploring the central idea of what if less is more. Alright, so sit back, relax, and I hope you enjoy this episode with Kaiwei Tang, the co-founder of the Lite Phone Company.
All right, Kai, this is round two, obviously, with the first one not really seeing the light of day. But the interesting thing is, since the last time around, which was probably a few months ago, things have really shifted gears in the world of technology, and we're going to get into all of that. But you know, before we dive deeper into the nitty-gritties and what you've been up to and Lite Phone in general, just would love a quick rundown of who Kaiwei is. And what your relationship is with the company that is Lite Phone.
Yeah, of course. My name is Kaiwei Tang. I started Lite Phone with Joe Hollier in 2014. I'm now acting as a CEO, co-founder of the company. My background is in product design research, as well as product development.
Could you tell us a bit about what got you started into the Lite Phone Company?
Yeah, of course. So this is 2014, right after I quit the job making Motorola phones, Nokia phones for quite a while. I was invited to this incubator for designers by Google, and there are 15 designers in the space, and obviously Google is being very generously inviting a lot of successful companies, investors to be part of the program. And while we start talking about, you know, what kind of company or product we wanted to make, it's not like we, you know, went in with an idea of what we're trying to do. But through the conversation, you know, we just kind of realized that all the app and platforms are utilizing this matrix or business model that that require users maximize time, their attention, and their data. So the app or platforms could make money off your data by selling it to advertisers. And, you know, like the more we dive into it, the more we feel like that's just the last thing we wanted to do at the time. I think this is when Apple Watch just got introduced and Google Glass was a hot topic at the time. But, you know, we just kind of feel like this is very wrong, and why isn't anyone doing anything about it? It's not like we are anti-technology. We came from a, you know, Google incubator, right? But I think what we realize is that the reason we are so addicted to our phone, you know, spending 5-7 hours a day, you know, it's addiction. And if you agree this is addiction, if you agree this is addiction, the way to get off addiction is not by carrying around the source of addiction with you all the time, right? If you try to quit smoking, are you going to carry a cigarette box with you and put a tape on it and say, hey, I'm not going to smoke, but I'm going to carry this thing with me all the time? All the app and business model that those companies use that are trying to hook us up to spending as much time as we can. When I quit the job, previously people joined the incubator, I wasn't planning on making another phone. That wasn't what I'm trying to do. But the more we doing our research, the more we, you know, just sit down in the park, restaurant, just Subway, you know, if you look up, it's just just feeling so weird about how we're all doing this without any reflection on why and how and, you know, what's the impact. We want a phone. We want a tool that empowers us, not the other way around, that using us as a way to profit off our data.
The phone in terms of, you know, the packaging and everything and the way it was presented. And also some of the stuff that I saw when you first released the phone, it came with a photo book and it was like really nicely built. What was the reason behind that design-driven approach or the creative approach to a phone that essentially is in and of itself does not necessarily represent the latest or the most modern look of a technology phone, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously we are selling a phone and our service plan as a company, but iPhone is, in my opinion, is not really about the phone. I know it sounds weird, but it's like, you know, what we're trying to do is build a very utility-focused tool. It's like a hammer, a screwdriver, right? You have it. It's hopefully it's designed and beautifully, and it does the job. And when you get it, just forget about it. You know you have them. You can use them when you need to, but it's not about the phone. It's more about offering the tool for user to feel the peace of mind, to feel like they have the right tool they need for the day or for a few hours, and you could just have it and then forget about your phone. You should enjoy, I don't know, like walking around, you know, having a conversation with your partners or your friends or families, right? Not swiping or staring at your phone all the time. So this is the experience we brand it as Go Light. You know, going light is, it's about moving away or break away from the constant distractions and noise from our digital world, our internet or social media. I mean, those are beneficial, you know, at some point in your life, but it shouldn't be all the time. You know, having a mini computer with limited access to internet, to all the advertisement, I don't think that's how we want it to live. So we want this to be experience, and we wanted our user to feel special when they make a conscious decision to go light. So from packaging, from our video, from the phone, you know, the moment you get the phone, we want you to feel like, oh, you know, I make this decision. Hopefully this object inspired action. Making a device small, portable is not the point. It's logical. It's reasonable. Like iPhone is right now, it's in quarter car size. It's because we want iPhone to be invisible. So what are the objects that we carry around with us that we don't really think about it? You know, our credit card, our ID, you know, so iPhone originally was designed from that size. So you're comfortable with the size, you don't feel burdened using it. Even just like, oh, this looks cool. It's not a vintage candy bar phone. I'll give it a try. I'll try it for an hour or two. I think that's when the magic happened. When you break away from your phone, the anxiety, the nervousness, the general anxiety that not having your smartphone is very powerful. And I think, I don't know if you experienced that. I think a lot of our user experienced that feeling when they use iPhone the first time. And the idea is that hopefully after 15, 20 minutes, you forget about your smartphone. You're not thinking about who is texting you, what's happening on Twitter, social media, TikTok, and you started to actually pay attention to what was happening around you, your friends, you know, or I don't know, just look at the cloud and whatever that you what if that the thing that you do make you happy, right? Or taking photos with your camera. So yeah, that's why we wanted to make the package feel intentional. We want the phone feel intentional as well. Every tool we make is following the same principle.
As you were talking there, I just had a couple of questions. Like, do you know if there's any, well, know of any studies that you've kind of looked at what not having a smartphone does for either mental health or in a person's general life? And if not, what kind of anecdotes have you heard from people that have switched to a light phone?
Obviously, there are so many research and study out there on smartphone addiction, especially now. I mean, 2014, we already feel like it's such a crisis of humanity. This is 2023 now. And then the problem never stopped. I think it's going to get worse from here with 5G, with iPhone 222, I don't know. It's going to get worse. But I think when the problem get worse, there will be a lot more people started to reflect on their time and their well-being. I think the most concrete encouragement or evidence, if I want to put it this way, is from our users. We have users from different age group. We have an old gentleman told me that when he used light phone, his heart rate reduced. We have people showing us their screen time from 5 hours to 10 minutes or 1 minute on their smartphone. We have college students that told us they read more books after they switch to light phone. They pick up another major. I have handwritten letters from, I think, 12-year-old girl that telling us that she enjoys her phone and every time she uses it, reminding her, like, why is everyone, not talking on the phone all the time. It's just quite fascinating to see the health benefits just from breaking away from the internet or smartphone, even just time to time. That to me, it's just so much powerful for me personally and for the team here than any research out there. I think it's obviously echoing all the research that people are doing, but firsthand information from our users, which is, it's just so powerful. I just watched this video on YouTube, someone reviewing light phone, and he was saying that he thought this is going to be difficult, but when he started to use it, and the feeling was wow, like, what happened? Why I just stepped out of prison. The freedom came over him, and he feels so himself. And the thought in his mind was that, hell no, I'm not gonna go back to that shit. and it was fascinating to see those reflections.
Right. One thing that's interesting when I think about it is the first time I heard about light phone was actually through an Instagram story by John Mayer, right? I'm a big fan of him and follow his work. And he posted about light phone on his story, tagged you guys, and he said, I'm going light this weekend or something of that sort. And that caught my attention. Now, the story in and of itself of how I found out about it is because of a smartphone being on social media chronically, and then following, a celebrity, and then eventually landing upon a phone that kind of wants to discard all of that, right? So how do you plan to kind of balance that act in terms of marketing yourself in a world that requires all those things to be even marketed about, right? To even sustain on a business level? So what have you been thinking of in terms of that?
Yeah, I mean, we are where we are because of internet, because of social media. There's no denying we started the project crowdfunding website, and that's where the whole thing gets started. And we're not shy shied away from using internet or social media as a touch point. But I think the value is that what we choose not to do, for example, like we don't spend millions of dollars on social media to show people advertisement, but we do have social media account that acting as a base or touch point for our users to get new information, getting inspiration, showing off the film photos that we took on film camera. So I think we use social media and we use internet in a way to get people to know about iPhone. There's no way around it. But at the same time, we're not contributing to trying to get user showing off advertisement everywhere you go. We rely on our users' word of mouth. That's 99% of our sales. We actually encourage a lot of our users to talk about iPhone. We incentivize our users to talk about iPhone because, you know, like, just for me, I'm obviously biased. But whenever I sit on a bar or have my iPhone on the table, it's like 5 out of 10 times people came over and ask, hey, what's that thing? Or they were like, hey, is that iPhone? And then it's not about iPhone. The whole conversation becomes, why I use a iPhone? What's wrong with smartphone? What's wrong with social media? And almost everyone will resonate with the problem that we are trying to address. Yeah, not necessarily everyone agrees, oh, I should use iPhone. I mean, I'm not saying that either. Like, you don't use iPhone if you find a way to help you with your relationship between you and smartphone and internet. Ironically, showing off iPhone on social media, saying, hey, I'm going light for the weekend. Call me or text me. I'm not going to be on Instagram. Even those posts are fascinating, and it helps us getting more people to know about iPhone and hopefully giving it a try.
In your, in your experience in working at the company, if you were to pick the top three things that people use, well, the reasons for switching to a light phone are, what would you say those reasons would be?
Well, I think the number one reason why people are interested in light phone is the stress and anxiety from smartphone and social media. Realizing how much time you spend in your phone is such a powerful motivation to find another way. I remember one of our user, a dad with 2 kids, he told us why he bought a light phone. It's because there's one day he was sitting in the living room with 2 of his young kids watching TV, and as usual he was on his phone while watching TV with the kids, doing emails and stuff. And then his kids came up to him and asked him to put down the phone because they want to talk about what happened on the TV or whatever the day was being. You know, they want to talk to him and ask him to put down his phone. And I think that's the moment he realized, like, something is really wrong with how he used his phone. And that's what triggered him to do his research on different options and find us. And he bought the family. We have parents now buying iPhone for kids, which is a pleasant surprise because I wasn't thinking about designing a kid's phone when it started. It's a phone for me, for you, for someone that just sick of the manipulation and smartphone social media problems and want a modern tool that has utility without the stress, advertisement, social media. So it's not we're not trying to go back in time per se. We're not trying to say, hey, use the phone that I designed 20 years ago. No, those phones are bulky, 2G. They still have Facebook or Twitters on it. They're not designed for this purpose. We want a modern tool that has modern utility, so you feel comfortable, you feel with that peace of mind that, oh, I have all these tools I needed. Now you can forget about it.
I'm going to switch gears a little bit. In terms of some of the reviews that I've seen, one that kind of sticks out as the biggest criticism of the phone is the price point, right? A lot of people saying it's a $300 phone, and the biggest concern is that, you know, why a phone that can't, quote-unquote, do most of the things the smartphone can, why is it costing that much or X amount of money, right? Given that feedback, and I think that has been a consistent comment that I've seen probably, you know, since inception, how do you tackle those reviews, and I guess what are your overall reasoning behind those numbers, or how do you put those comments really?
Yeah, of course. I mean, we get that comments or feedback a lot, but the truth is, it's just the reality of a small independent company trying to build a mobile phone. You know, like, we're not Motorola, we're not Apple or Samsung, or Nokia. We don't buy millions of parts at once. You know, that's the economy scale will help reduce the cost of your parts of your phone, and you know, would not be subsidized by carrier as well. So we build small batch at the time. It's inevitable the price will be higher, and we also don't have the leverage Apple has with suppliers. We have some really loyal partners working with us, but you know, the truth is, we're not Apple. We don't have the leverage to crush our suppliers and get the cheapest price ever to build the phone. That's what the big tech companies are doing. Firsthand experience that. Well, when I still, you know, making a smartphone in my test life. I mean, just the reality of small company making something as complicated or as miniature as a mobile phone. It has 200, 300 components in the phone, even though it's tiny. Every component is a company, is a supplier. And we have, 15, 16 team members here. And we are building a hardware and software and maintaining an operating system from scratch. So, obviously, from my view, we're not pricing it high to get a lot of profit. I think we'll price it pretty reasonably for us to be able to sustain the operation, keep pushing out slowly optimizations and new tools, and we are, I think we're doing quite okay at this time. At the same time, you know, Lightphone, even though it doesn't do everything your smartphone do, but building all the tools in the phone from ground up, troubleshooting and developing new features, it's just not cheap.
On, I guess, the aspects of business, what would you say that the biggest challenges from, I guess, drawing it up, the development plans to manufacturing and all of that, what would you say was the biggest challenge for you? And I guess question number two would be, what do you see as your major threats in a threat assessment?
Threat, in my opinion, well, obviously Apple, Samsung, Google, they could build a simple phone very quickly. They could build a light phone if they want to, even though it can't look like that because we have patent, but it doesn't really matter. They could build a simple phone quickly. There's a lot of challenges, obviously, running a startup. But I think just like any other startup, out there right now, the market is really slow, and the investment landscape is really slowing down quite a lot. We are lucky that we are self-sustaining through our sales, but it's not like we have, I don't know, like 6 months of runway, cash in the bank. Yeah, it's not, we don't have that. So obviously running a startup, a hardware, nonetheless, startup is a challenge in itself. But I think at the moment, our biggest task is to try to convince, or not convince, try finding a way to get more people to try Lightfoam. A lot of users were saying, hey, Apple Watch can potentially do the same thing, right? You can leave your smartphone behind and have your Apple Watch with you. Isn't that kind of Lightfoam-ish? And I would say, yeah, sure. But is Apple Watch not showing you notifications? You could probably shut it off. But the whole watch environment app is designed surrounding notification. And the notification coming from the app, and the app obviously making money from your data and your attention, that they need more of your time and attention to data. It's the same thing. It's not about a watch. It's about everything in the watch. You could say, oh, I'll delete all the things. I'll delete it. I'll install all the apps, shut off notification. I say, yeah, that's helpful. If you could keep it up, that's great. And I'm all for it. Even the smartphone. Like, what if I delete all my social media? If I turn the screen black and white, or just use it for phone and text? I was like, that's also, I'm all for it too, if that's helpful. But from what I know, that how many people delete social media and put it back, you always have this access to the vast, unlimited internet, social media in your hand. You know, how many people do that and come back, do that and go back? It's just not the right tool. People understand the problem now. Everyone understands the problem with social media and smartphone. But, you know, not everyone, I mean, what, 1%? Not even 1% of people are doing, can switch off smartphone. There are all kinds of reasons why I need a smartphone 24/7 in my life, right? But if you actually sit down and think about it, think about a tool that you use. Do you really need Discord 24/7? Do you really need emails when you walk around Saturday morning trying to relax? Do you really need Uber or Lyft? You know, you just don't. You're not going to go anywhere anyway, right? So if you start thinking about the tools that you need in your life, I think the likely conclusion is that we don't really need a mini computer with us 24/7. You can still think this is a very, I don't know, a unique crowd that buying Lightfoam, but I do see this become a common options down the road. So to answer your questions, I think that's our biggest challenge outside of running a hardware startup in this environment. But I think that's, you know, we made a lot of videos. We went on talking about Lightfoam. We asked our user to share the good and bad about Lightfoam when using it, in a hope to motivate or encourage more people to give it a try.
One question that I had was obviously the recent developments with Apple's headset. I think takes a whole new step towards VR and what these, I think it'll give the screen time a whole new meaning in a lot of ways, right? With these kinds of new advancements, you know, with these hardwares and also with AI and newer apps coming out every day, does that actually in some ways drive a bigger demand for the phone that you would have seen? Because in your experience, have you seen more and more people wanting to turn off from all of that? Because previously it was just phones, and now it's just getting crazier and crazier by the by the day. What has been your overall observation on that regards?
Yeah, I think there's no stopping in terms of VR, AR, or technology advancement. And we're not against that. If it's really helpful, if it's invisible, you're not like consumed by internet contents, or have to see advertisement everywhere, or give up your data so those companies can profit off you. If that's not happening, and all those technology are helping us getting our shit down quickly, and it'll move on and live our life, that's great. I don't know. I have no problem with any of the technology that anyone wanted to do. I have a problem when the business model come in and then, oh, you could put on a goggle, but you got to see my advertisement for 90 minutes until you could do your thing. Or while you do your thing, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to collect what you said and categorize you and sell it to the highest bidder around the globe. Or, I don't know, I think inevitably, realistically, they need to make money. They are a huge company. They need to make as much money as they can. And advertisement make the most money for Google, for the tech company. I think that's the line we draw. I think making technology invisible or incorporating into our lives so we're not thinking about technology all the time, as long as it's not the center of your life, it's always a welcome progress. And I think that's what we're trying to do. I'm not trying to go back in time. I'm trying to strip away the noise and the nonsense and the distraction from our phone and keep the modern utility aspect of it.
I just want to ask, what are your future plans for the product?
Yeah, so Light is the brand and Light Phone is the first category of product that we introduced, because both Joe and I are very passionate about the problem of smartphone addiction and social media and advertisement. That's the first product we introduced. We obviously, the wildest dream with unlimited cash and resource, we want to do different technology tool and apply the same philosophy. Right, so Light Phone, now we're at Light Phone 2, and that will continue as the category, and maybe a Light, laptop design for writers, or a Light camera. It's, a camera that, like a film camera, you take photos and you can't see it until you get home. Something like that, it's always on our mind, and that gets us excited to create this brand, this technology brand that's just very different from everything else, and actually stick to the philosophy, use it on every angle, every aspect of the brand, hardware, software, videos, our investor deck, presentations. So just, it's hopefully it's consistent. We're sending a consistent message.
Just wanted to ask one final question before we, wrap this up. Obviously, it's going to be almost 10 years since, the inception of the company. What has that changed for you personally as a smartphone user in the past, if you ever were, to now as someone who I'm assuming uses mostly, the Light Phone on a personal level? How have you changed as a human being, in terms of, because you're running a business, right? It's when you have to do that, there's just so many phone calls and emails and texts and video calls and whatnot. How have you coped with the almost like this juxtaposition of two things?
Of course, and that's, I think that's not just me. That's a lot of our user or potential user as well, right? Like, oh, I need my smartphone. I'm running a company or my job or whatever, right? Any email. But for me, the way in my daily routine, I have different tools. I have my iPhone, I have my iPad, I have my laptop. And so when I'm out and about, I only carry iPhone. But if I know I need to do a Zoom call, I will have my laptop or my iPad. If I know I need a feature that iPhone doesn't have, like riding a city bike that require an app to unlock a phone. If I know I'm going to ride a city bike, I'll bring my iPad. So I think that, you know, for me personally, that feels very logical and it's more me versus trying to have all activities loop through your smart one device. And, you know, when I'm out walking around or exercising on my iPhone, I'm not thinking about anything else. So that give me space and time to take a break. And if I know I'm gonna be needing, you know, emails or something else that iPhone doesn't offer, I will have the tool with me. But, you know, if anyone try to find me or something urgent, they can always call and text. It's not like, you know, I'm not reachable. I don't know, like a lot of listeners might feel like, yeah, that's bullshit. I need my emails all the time, which is fine. I'm not saying everyone should use it like but I think it's healthy to think about being how intentionally you are with your smartphone. Think about what tools that make sense and getting an idea of how much time you spend on social media and internet for, well, needlessly, right? Going to the washroom and sitting there with your smartphone and swipe for 40 minutes. Is that really healthy? Or, you know, have your smartphone with you swiping while you hang out with your family. Is that really necessary? Is that anything that urgent than your family around you? But yeah, you know, like if you could control yourself, like self-control is free, that's awesome. And that's really great if people could like stop when they need to, doesn't feel that stress, anxiety from a smartphone. I think that's great. But I feel like a lot of us are not that way.
And I think it's interesting you mentioned that, you mentioned all that, because it seems like the light phone, you can kind of use it in both circumstances or both scenarios, where you can make it your primary phone, but you can also choose to have it as a secondary phone that you use for weekends or something, or where you just go completely light, as you guys have
put it. Yeah, it's an option. We should have options, like different cars, different clothes, different shoes, like car designed for different purpose, mini car, big car, truck, and we could choose whatever that makes sense to you and intentionally choose the features that make sense to you. And we should do the same thing for our this such important device in our life. We should have options.
All right. So, one final thing. Do you have any words for the audience at all?
No. I appreciate you. I don't know if you're listening. I appreciate you spending time listening to all that stuff. Hopefully, it's helpful.
I think a lot of people will get reminded of just how much they use their smartphones and really think about that again, because I think it's one of those things where it's just part of your body now. You don't really think about it, but it is doing quite a bit of damage and taking you away from the real world a lot more than we realize. So I think this was an important conversation.
Definitely. You know, just be more intentional is healthy, and understanding what technology big companies are doing, what's the intention. I think it's important as well. You're not on your side. to put it this way, like, it doesn't matter what they say. Like, if they make money through maximize your time, attention, and data, doesn't matter what they say, what they do, they're not aligned with your well-being.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much, Kai. I really appreciate the time. And yeah, hopefully we'll catch up maybe a year or so from now and just see where things are.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Good stuff.
Yeah, thank you. All right.